Amen. So turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read some of the verses that we briefly covered last week, but we're going to go from verse 10 to verse 31. 10 to 31. And I titled this, God Will See You Through the Storm. So whether you're going through a storm right now, you need to listen. But if you're not going through a storm, get ready because a storm is coming your way. And so we have that promise from the Lord that in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we know that God has got us. Okay, verse 10 says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues. Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it means the anointed one. So we could say he preached the anointed one, or he preached the anointed Messiah in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And he's come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and as they watched the gates day and night to kill him, the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. He did not believe, that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to him how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brothers found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout Judah, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that we've already felt the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And Lord, we know that he will continue to move. And when I pray, Lord, right now that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and make it come alive in our heart. Lord, bury the good seed in good ground today, Father, so that when we leave this place, we leave encouraged. We leave strengthened, Lord. We leave like a conqueror in Christ, God. Encourage those that are downcast, Father. Touch the sick. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that this headache that Sheila has walked in with, God, that it would leave instantly in Jesus' name so that she would be able to enjoy the rest of this service. Father, I know you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us. You came to heal to forgive us of all of our sins and heal us of all of our diseases. So, Father, I come before you in faith right now, Lord, that you will extend your hand and bring this headache out of her head, Father, and never go back, Father, that it would never happen again, Lord. Bring whatever's causing this, Lord, I pray that you would heal that, Lord, as well as taking the pain away. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Jesus will see us through the storm. Storms are natural, right? And they're reoccurring. They happen oftentimes. It may be that you would say, right now I'm sort of going through a storm, or maybe I've just come through. We have Linda Lee with us today who has just come through a major storm in her life. And one day she'll give testimony of God's goodness and his grace and how he healed her body. He took the cancer away, folks. And so we praise God for that. But that was a storm. There are many people here today that I know personally that are going through storms. So I pray that this is an encouragement that God is with you. We started reading this by Saul. He's headed to Damascus to bring havoc to the church. And God shines a bright light, knocks him off his horse. He hears the voice of God and he's struck blind. They lead him to Damascus as a blind man. And so he had an encounter with God, and it got his attention. And at this story, what we start off with is God speaks to Ananias. And I really want you to get this, the way the Bible describes Ananias. Here's what it says. And Ananias, being the rock star of Christianity, God spoke to him to go and... Doesn't say that, does it? That's the way we read it. Oh, a rock star, right? No. He says he's just a certain disciple. He's just a certain disciple. He wasn't a deacon. He wasn't an elder. He wasn't a Sunday school teacher that we know of. He was a certain disciple. And God spoke to him and he said, say what? You want me to do what? Go pray for the guy that's killing Christians? Oh, thank you. Can you tell Jared over there to do that for me? I want you to know, it doesn't take a rock star in the kingdom of heaven to hear the voice of God. And we need to clarify this, that for every believer, are you an every believer? Every believer in this house needs to have the clarity of hearing God's voice. The word of God says, my sheep know my voice and I call them by name, right? You're not a number, but he knows your name. So God wants to speak to you the same way he spoke to Ananias with such... Did you get that? He said, okay, Ananias, got a little job for you to do. Want you to head over here, down street, go to Judas's house. There's a man in there that he's already seen you coming. And you lay your hands on him and his blind eyes are going to be open. Right? And then he happened to tell him what his name was. Oh, by the way, this is Saul. The guy that used to hate you, right? And so it brought a little fear to Ananias. And is this really God? You know, but Ananias, I'm telling you, if there's a desire of my heart, like Dale said, there's a desire of his heart. The desire of my heart is to hear God with clarity, to know the voice of God, to know, you know, there's lots of voices out there speaking, right? You know, the Bible says that God's got a small, still voice. But the devil is a loud mouth, right? He's as a roaring lion. He roars. Jesus whispers and the devil roars. That might be a clue right there. But there's also the voice of the world that's always talking. And then there's really the voice that we got to discern, and it's called your voice. Your voice is louder than the devil's voice. It's louder than God's voice, and it's louder than the world's voice. See, we are born with this stubborn, selfish spirit that we wrestle with all of our life, right? Denying the flesh, crucifying the flesh. Say it however you want to say it, but that's what the Lord tells us. And so we have to pray, God, I want to know that when I hear, it's you, right? I want to know that you're speaking to me. And don't disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself because you say, well, I really don't know the Bible very well. I haven't been saved that long. Right? I mean, Saul just got saved and God began to speak to him. Spoke to him at his salvation. Right? We have made this thing a lot harder than what the Lord wants it to be. The Lord desires to speak to you. Do you believe that? I hope you do. If not, this is going to be a long sermon for you. So he has to go and talk to him. And so when he walks in, he says, I'm the, sort of like I did to my wife, I'm the man of your dreams. No, I never said that, I promise. And he said, I'm the guy that you saw in the vision. I'm the guy that's supposed to pray for you, right? And he prayed for him. The Bible first says he called him Brother Saul. What does that mean? He's already born again. He's calling him a brother in the faith. He got saved on his Damascus trip when he surrendered. Okay, God. He said, Lord, who are you? Right? And he said, I'm the guy you're kicking against. And so the Lord had been dealing with Saul. We don't know everything, but we know a few things about what he was talking to him about. But the Bible says that scales fell off his eyes. So we see a miracle right there that he was healed immediately. His eyes were open. He could see again. And the Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that he spoke in tongues. But later on, Saul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. That just shows us he's from southern Jerusalem, right? I pray in tongues more than... So we know that he had a prayer language. And for those of you that don't believe in that, you need to get with the program, because God wants you to use that prayer language, and it's going to help you. So Saul was being taught how to hear from God. Number one, on the road to Damascus. Number two, he heard from God through Ananias. Sometimes we think it's got to be so super spiritual that God's got to, you know, shake heaven and speak a word to me. But your brother in the Lord is saying something to you, and you're just not listening. Ananias had the word of God for Saul, and he had to receive it. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again, it's a little bit scary to say, but if you're coming to this church as a regular attender and you don't hear God speak to you, if you can't receive from this pastor as he preaches the word or from this worship team, you're in the wrong church. You need to go somewhere where God can speak to you in the house of God. Now, does God always speak in the house of God? Absolutely not. God spoke to them in a vision, right? To both of these men. He spoke in a vision. But I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you here. Here's our problem. I got to come down here again. You have too low of expectation. Most people come to church because it's Sunday. That's not good enough. You come to church because you want to be in His presence. Why do I want to be in His presence? Because I believe He has a word for me. I believe God will speak to me in the camp, right? In the house of God. I have come today because I want to hear from God. Any other expectations is too low. You need to believe. God, I believe you got a word for me. I believe you're going to change my life. I believe you're going to sow a seed. You know, James says that implanted seed. How did that seed? Hey, Bonnie. Sorry, squirrel. How did that seed, the seed is the word of God. How'd that seed get there? Somebody planted it. Somebody put the seed in your heart, either through a preacher or by you reading the word yourself. And the Spirit of God said, this seed is for you, baby. You know, you need to take this because it's going to grow into a large plant in your life. It's going to house many and feed many. So we see that Saul was hearing from God on the Damascus road through a supernatural experience. And then he heard from Ananias, which doesn't seem too spiritual. In Acts 13 and Acts 16, God spoke to Saul in a worship service, such as we just had. And then he speaks in dreams and visions. And today he speaks largely through his word. How do we know? And how can we clarify the word of God? First of all, you need to know it's God's will to speak to you. God wants to speak to you as an individual. God has your number. Are you listening? Do you know any great marriages? When I say that, does somebody come up in your mind like, wow, they really have a great marriage? You know what causes great marriage? Great communication. It's the number one reason for divorce is bad communication, a broken communication. Good communication causes good relationships. So that happens in the church, that happens in business, but it also happens in your life. If you have good communication with the Lord, what does that mean? Communication is always two ways. A lot of you communicate to the Lord this way, but then you get up and you leave him alone. You never let him speak back to you. That's not communication. I'm telling you, listening is just as important as speaking. Some of you say, Pastor, you need to heed that a little bit. So that's the first thing, is know that God wants to. The second thing is, you probably need to repent that when God spoke to you, you didn't listen and you didn't obey. The Bible says in Genesis that God spoke to Abraham. He said, I want you to sacrifice your son. Then the most amazing words are written down. It says, the next morning, he got up and saddled his donkey. He got his son and he got the stuff that he needed for the sacrifice and he left. When God speaks to you and you know that it's God, do it. And if you don't do it, repent. It's as easy as I know. Some of you, this just came up in my spirit. Some of you think, well, God's not speaking to me anymore. Well, what did he say last? It's very likely that the last thing God told you, you've not done it. You're just sitting on it. And until you complete what he told you last, he's not going to give you more instruction. So there may be a time that you need just to repent. The third thing is, we need to quiet ourselves. We need to get quiet before the Lord. There is I love worship. Worship ministers to me, not nearly as much as it does my wife, but worship really ministers to me, and my heart is just a worshipful heart. But there's time when I have to turn the worship music off. You have to turn the TV off and the radio off and all the other voices. Just, there's nothing. See, what you're doing is you're telling the Lord, nothing more important right now than I just want to hear from you. So I'll quiet the world around me and I'm going to listen as I pray, as I study. But I'm listening for you to speak to my heart. And the next thing is, you need to take a journal with you in those times. In other words, if I really believe that the Lord is going to speak to me, wouldn't I want to write it down? Absolutely. If I think what you tell me I need to write down, I'm 63 years old. Things don't stay forever. You know, I have to write things down now. But especially, I try to write things, especially when I receive a word from the Lord, I try to write it in my Bible somewhere where I'm going to see it again. A lot of people will keep a journal and they'll write things that they think God is, and then they never pick the journal back up. That doesn't really help you. You got to pick the journal back up and read it again. What is the Lord telling me? What? Because you will see, you probably won't catch it at the moment, but as you go to your prayer closet with this journal and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're getting quiet and you're writing down what he is speaking to you, you go back and you begin to read this journal, you'll see that God is weaving you through a path. Does that make sense? That there is a message that God has been trying to speak to you for 3 months. And you hadn't caught it, but when you go back and read in that journal, you'll say, oh my goodness, he's taken me here. He's given me the instruction that I need. Some people have a decision to make and they say, well, God, you're not answering me. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe he is answering you, but you're not connecting the dots. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But I started serving the Lord when I was 7 years old. But I was about probably 20 before he started connecting dots. Does that make sense? It's like, oh, this makes sense when you add it to this. And you start seeing Jesus bringing thoughts together. And you begin to see that it's not just about a goosebump or a moment. It's about what God is generating. Does that make sense? God is generating something, a life plan. That's a good word. God's got a life plan for you that he wants to share with you. But you got to make time. I'm a big believer in making an appointment with God. Set an appointment and then keep it. By all means, keep it. There is a, you need to prepare your heart for receiving the word. Mark chapter 4 tells us there's four soils. Now, all these soils are different heart types. It's our hearts. The word is the seed. The seed is the word of God. And he's sowing the seed into our heart. But only one type out of four is called good ground. And so you can be any one of those types at any moment in your life. In other words, you're not always good soil. Some days your soil is hard. Sometimes you're... So have you prepared it through worship? Have you prepared it by getting earnest with God and seeking his face? So make sure your heart is ready. And then I have that we need to apply the triple confirmation. Now, this is really very important. A triple confirmation. Am I hearing from God? Or did I eat pizza last night, right? Is the pizza speaking or is it God speaking? And I'm going to tell you, pizza speaks to me. I don't know. About 3 a.m. usually. And so here's the triple confirmation. Number one, is it aligned with the Word of God? That word that you think Jesus told you, does it line up with his word? So there's a lot of things that you can just rule out. You're having a financial trouble and you think Jesus tells you that you can embezzle money where you work. Here's how you do it. That's not from God, right? You just kick that one out like that. God doesn't tell you to lie. God doesn't tell you to steal, right? So there's lots of things that the Word of God is just going to bring clarity in an instant. That ain't God. Kick that thing out. That ain't God. So does it align with the Word? Number two, does it bear witness with the Holy Spirit? Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, the Bible tells us that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4:7, that the excellence of the power of God would be of him and not of us. So with inside of you is this treasure, and it's called the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he is the seal. He's the down payment for what we're really going to receive one day. I'm going to tell you, he's a good down payment for what's coming our way, right? So within your heart, the Spirit of God lives. And so when you hear something, you ever had a friend tell you something? Hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it sets on your stomach like something sour. Ugh. Now, if that's a spiritual son, I just growl at him. Ugh. That ain't a God. Where'd you get that, you dope? You know, that's the Spirit of God within you. I'm telling you, there's such ridiculous things going through the body of Christ. You hear me? Ridiculous things going through the body of Christ right now that the Spirit of God is grieved. And we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God that's within us so that when we hear the ridiculous, when we hear the things that are not of God, it sets like something sour on your belly. Well, that ain't of God. And don't come and ask your pastor to bless it. You'd be surprised what people will come and ask me to bless. I can't bless what Jesus has already said is wrong. So, does it bear witness with the Holy Ghost? Number three. Do mature believers agree with you? Say what? You mean we're supposed to be talking to each other? We're supposed to be living in community with each other. The Bible says when one of us rejoices, the others rejoice. But when one is sick, we all hurt, right? We're a family. We feel each other's pain. That means I need to know what's going on in your life. You need to know what's going on in your neighbor's life. And so when we get connected like that, and all of a sudden you go to Terry and you say, Terry, I think the Lord spoke to me. And Terry says, well, that sure sounds like the Lord. Right? So then you go to somebody else and you say, hey, this is what I think the Lord has said. Well, praise the Lord. That's a good word. The Lord spoke to something to me. It was one Friday morning as I was cleaning my house. And it was a word that I never heard before, never even thought about it before. It has to do with my biological father. And it was weird. And I was pretty sure it was God, but it was a little strange to me. What did I do? First thing I did is I picked up the phone. It didn't misalign with the word. It didn't grieve my spirit. So I picked up the word to somebody I have a lot of confidence in that hears from God. And I said, "Hey, I believe the Lord just spoke this to me." I said, "What do you think?" She said, "That's absolutely God. He's encouraging you. He's telling you this is what happened in your life." You know how much peace that brought me? I mean, it brought me peace. Okay, God, I get it. Man, that it's different. That was really different. But I get, you have been planning my life since I was born. Actually, before I was born, God has been planning my life. Isn't that amazing? Some of you think you're all alone. You're not. He's right there with you. The next thing we see is that Saul begins to preach the resurrected Messiah, Christ. And he begins to increase in strength, and not physical strength, but in his influence, we would say. The Bible says that some were amazed and some were confounded. That still is happening today. It's according to how you receive the word. And then something very, very, very spiritual happened. They decide to kill him. Yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. The Jews. We're going to kill this guy. And the family of God comes together and they had a prayer meeting. No, they didn't have a prayer meeting. They come together and said, "We got to save this man." So they got together and said, "We can't let him out the front gate because they're watching it 24 hours a day. So let's put him in a basket. We'll let him down out of the wall," right? Wall of the city. They let him down. Doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? You know that a lot of things that you will do in life won't ring as spiritual. Do you know God can use the practicality of your life? I had a man tell me one time, a guy that had pastored for 50 years, he said, "You be practical and let God be spiritual." I thought, I can do practical. I'm no practical. In other words, God may be telling you to cook a meal for somebody. That can be just as spiritual as laying hands on someone and praying for them. Hey, you know what? Someone's discouraged. They need one of your homemade pies. His name is Eric. I'm telling you, we rule out a lot of things, but when you do it as unto the Lord, it is spiritual. It's our spiritual service, right? It is spiritual when you do it as unto the Lord. So baking bread or making a cake or going and mowing someone's yard or whatever little thing that you can do to help encourage somebody, that's a spiritual work, and we need to do it. They saved his life that day. And so he heads to Jerusalem where the disciples or the apostles are there, and he tries to join up, but the church is afraid of him because of his reputation. And then the next point that I have is the human factor. This is where somebody got involved. The church is scared to receive Saul because they know his reputation. But there is a man, hallelujah, there is a man in town that's not scared of Saul. His name was Barnabas. I don't know if God spoke to Barnabas, but Barnabas befriends Saul and takes him into the house of God, takes him into the camp of believers and says, "This guy's life has been transformed and he's been preaching Christ since the day he got saved. You need to receive him. You need him and he needs you," right? It's always a win-win with Christ. So later on, when Saul is changed to Paul, and he goes out on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, and he takes this young man called John Mark with him, and John Mark betrays them and deserts them. And he leaves them, and so they're getting ready to go out on the second journey, and Barnabas says, "I'll go tell John Mark because he needs to come with us." And Paul said, "Over my dead body, you're not taking that jerk with us." That's a Kelleher rendition. I like to color the Word of God a little bit. And so, the Bible says they come up with such a fight. They really had a strong disagreement. But what happened in the end was God's will. Separated, Paul takes Silas and goes on this missionary journey. And Barnabas says, I need to pour into John Mark. Towards the end of Paul's life, he says these words, hey, would you send John Mark to me? Because he's profitable for the ministry. There are John Marks in this room right now that need a Barnabas. Need somebody. Matter of fact, every one of us need a Barnabas. We need an encourager. We need somebody that will just take time and pour their life into us. I'm going to tell you, we need a Barnabas, but we need to be a Barnabas too. God's called you to do that. I'm thankful for the Barnabases in my life, how much they bring to me. So he was a real gift. Saul is speaking to the Hellenists at this point in the very place where Stephen was killed. It's come full circle. His life has come full circle. At one point, Saul is there while they're stoning Stephen, and that's where I believe God really began to speak to Saul through that. That's where he says it's hard to kick against the goads. I believe that was the goad, is the impression that he got of Stephen, seeing the countenance of God shine upon him. And so he's right there at the same place, and now he's preaching the Word of God. And they want to kill him too. So again, they have to move him and head him over to Caesarea and then to Tarsus. And verse 31 was the last line that we led. And it said something like this. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and they multiplied as they were walking in the fear and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You need to realize that when you come through the storms of life, that you're going to enter into the rest of God and you're going to feel the peace of God. But you got to know you're going to go through the storms. And how do we get through the storms? I'm telling you, Saul's whole life was a storm. He went from one into another. Thank the Lord that I've never met anybody like that. I've met a few people that had some major storms. So here's what Peter says in chapter 1. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Are you getting that? I know that there are those of you that are here right now that you're going through a season of trials. And you need to know he's still in control. Listen to that. You've been grieved by various trials. You know, one of the ways I can tell that it's Satan is because I believe that natural things break down. If you buy a car, it's mechanical, it's going to break down. That's not the devil always. But when your car breaks down, your refrigerator breaks down, the washer breaks down, your wife is mad at you, I'll bet Satan's in the house. He always overplays his hand. He just pours it on. And we need to recognize little things like that because you handle that differently. If my car breaks down, it's called the mechanic. It's time to get it fixed, right? But when all this stuff pours in, it's not about calling the mechanic. I call on the name of Jesus, right? I need to fight this one on my knees, right? Because we don't wrestle flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. A lot of things that you're going through right now, you will not fix by getting a more education. You're not going to fix with money. You're not going to fix any other way than to get on your face before God and reach hold. This old Pentecost. But you got to grab hold of the horns of the altar. Tell you will not let go. Said you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith. It's all about faith, guys. He lets you go through some difficulty because he's doing something in your life. And what do? We just whine and cry. We get so mad. I'm talking to a girl yesterday out on street reach, young lady, broke my heart. We asked her if she knew Jesus, and she said, yeah, but I'm pretty mad at him right now. And I thought, buddy, I understand that perfectly. I've been mad at him before. Why? He didn't do what I had told him to do. My little errand boy God didn't do what he, right? Isn't that the way we treat him a lot of times? God, you need to do this for me. And if you don't, I'm not going to talk to you for 3 days. It's amazing how childish we get with the Lord. This little lady, 41 years old, has stage 4 cancer. It's pretty serious. You know, there's a lot of the body of Christ that does not believe in the healing of God. How sad. I don't know if she does or doesn't. I just said, sister, I believe Jesus is the healer. And I'd like to pray for you. And we laid our hands on her. I'd love to tell you the cancer dropped off right there. But I didn't see anything hit the floor. It would have shocked me if it did. Oh, dear God. I was out soul winning one time. And I talked to so many people about giving their heart to Jesus. And I talked to this guy. And I said, you want to give your heart to Jesus? He said, yeah, I do. And I said, really? Are you sure? Are you real? And he did. Praise the Lord. But that lady's name is Amber. And if you would, pray for Amber that God touches. I believe God wants to do something in her life. I really do. But he says that the genuine of your faith being much more precious than gold. You see how God sees your faith? There's nothing more precious than your faith. And God says, I will let you go through some difficult times. Why? Because I want to purify this thing in you. I want you to shine like the stars in a dark world for me. And to do that, there's a few things that we need to kill in you. That old selfish spirit. That old stubborn streak. That bad language. There's things, that perverted mind. You know, when you get saved spiritually, but you still got a soul to live in. That old body says, you may be saved, but I'm not, right? And he's going to go kicking and screaming. And so it takes a while for God to take stuff out of you and to put some stuff in you. But when you're going through the storm, you realize he's with me. That's an anointed word from the Lord. Because everything about you is going to say, I'm all alone. Man, I'm telling you, it's tough out here and I'm by myself. You're not by yourself. God is with you. God will see you through the storm. And so when you get the idea that he has not abandoned me, and I'm telling you, life gets tough. Life gets tough. And when it gets tough, you don't need to have doubt that he hears you. You need to be confident that God knows where I'm at. And he will not desert me in hard times. He's going to help me in the difficult parts of life. He's working something in my life. Being more precious than gold, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ. He's doing something wonderful. And when you come through this trial, all of a sudden, some of the names of God are going to be more precious to you than ever before. When you come through the trial of life and you look at him, and then you'll say, you are faithful. And it's a total different thing than singing a song, God is faithful. You can sing it all day long and not feel a thing. But when you've been through the storm of life and he has delivered you and you said, you never left me. You've been always there. You delivered me. You are faithful. Wednesday night, we read the verse in 2 Timothy says that when you are faithless, God is faithful because he cannot deny himself. It's who he is. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that your trials are seasonal. Aren't you thankful? I know most of us would skip that season, wouldn't we? Can we just live all the time in spring and summer? Praise God. No, you can't because you won't grow. You grow in the hard times. You need to understand that God won't allow anything to happen to you that you can't bear. And I've talked to many people that when I would tell them that verse, they would say something like this, God sure got more confidence in me than I have, right? If he is allowing me to go through this, he sees a strength that I don't see. And I promise you that's true. When God looked at Gideon is hiding behind the barn, scared that the enemy is going to see him. And God looks at him and says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." Even Gideon said, "Who are you talking to? Do you not see me here hiding? I am not a mighty man." I'm telling you, God's vision of you may be totally different than what you see yourself. We need to buy into his vision. I promise you, his vision is never lower than yours. He always sees you greater. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost in you. It's not about you. It's not about your weakness. It's about his strength in this body. He says this in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, "No temptation has taken you except what's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And with the temptation, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it." Sometimes you're looking for that way of escape, aren't you? So, "Lord, is there an open window around here? Because I sure would like to bail right now." God said, I'm here. Are you listening to me today? He's here. God is with you. As much as he's standing beside you, God is with you. Quit trying to do life alone. Be dependent upon him. It's a good dependency to trust him. Romans 8:37 says, now, if you back up a little bit in Romans 8, you'll see that Paul is writing that. And he's saying, we've been through this, and we've been through that, and I've seen this happen, and I've seen that happen, and oh man, I've been shipwrecked, and I've been, all these bad things have happened. He says in verse 37, yet in all these things, you hear that? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm telling you, child of God, you need to settle this in heaven. God has not called any of us to failure. God has not called us to defeat. God calls us more than conquerors. We are winners. We are winners. We are winners because of Jesus in us. You may think you can't make it. I promise you, you can. Just cling to the Almighty God. Right? You're more than a conqueror through Christ. But the last point is, it takes prayer and obedience to conquer. And you need to walk in courage and resilience. When Moses died, God tapped Joshua. He said, "You're it, buddy." Now, what Joshua may not have realized is God had been proving him and equipping him for years, right? He has been helping him, showing him how to lead. But if it's like most of us, we don't catch it. We don't get it until the tap comes. Okay, your turn. You're it, big boy. Go on in the ball game. Three times in that first chapter, Joshua chapter 1, three times God spoke to him. He said, "Be strong and courageous." Three times. What's that tell you? It tells you Joshua was neither strong nor courageous. But three times he said, "Now you be strong and courageous and get in there. We're going to," can't say it that way, "we're going to win some battles," right? "We're going to take some territory for God." I say be strong and courageous. Let me say it this way. Be resilient. What's that mean? Listen to my words. You're going to lose some battles. You are going to fail. You are going to make mistakes. What do you do? What do you do when you blow it? "Jesus, forgive me. I blew it." The righteous man falls seven times but gets back up. Is it really a failure if you get back up?
No.
No. It's a learning experience. Get back on the horse. Right? When I was a kid, we had horses. And when you fell off, there would be a ridiculous adult somewhere saying, "Get back on that, son." Well, I will as soon as I can walk again. Get back on the horse. Let's ride again. Let's conquer again. Now, here's what the devil will do. The devil will beat you over the head for as long as you allow him, because you failed, because you made a mistake. The devil's going to say, I told you, you ain't nothing special. Now I'm going to show everybody that you go to church with what kind of hypocrite you are. And what I usually tell the devil is, they already know I'm a hypocrite. We're all a little bit hypocritical. But we're going to keep getting back up, right? We are going to conquer. I've read the end of the story. We win, right? We win. We win big time. We're coming with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to be there as witnesses when the word of God comes out of his mouth. And the earth is destroyed and all the enemies of God are laid low. Right? We win. But that ain't the battle I'm worried about. I'm worried about the battle you're going through right now. Some of you are in it, I can tell. Some of you are really in a battle. And you don't know. You don't know if I'm going to get out of this thing alive. And I'm going to tell you, you win. Don't give up. Would you stand with me? If you have failed the Lord, if you have made a bonehead decision and you've done something stupid, just ask Jesus to forgive you. Aren't you thankful that he doesn't hold your past over your head? Now listen to me. We all know that verse, he forgives us. But here's what I want to say. That holds your past from yesterday. He doesn't hold the past from this morning when you came to church and you were fighting with your wife. When you ask him to forgive you, it's gone, baby. And God doesn't browbeat you. All he wants is your best. He wants to see you conquer. He really does want to see you shine like a light, because this world is dark and it's getting darker. And it doesn't take much light to really light it up right now. But the kingdom of heaven needs to be on this earth. The kingdom of heaven needs to be in Paris. God wants to do some. Do you feel this? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to do a mighty work in Paris, Tennessee. He's going to transform this little city that we live in. He is, and he's going to do it through us. Not just Bridge of Hope. I'm not saying that. I'm saying by the body of Christ. Amen. I pray that this word has been encouraging, because the word is encouraging. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you need to get in the starting gate. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Come into your heart. We all started there. Too many churches preach that you ask Jesus in your heart, you've arrived. No, you hadn't arrived. You started. That's the first rung on the ladder. We need to get you in the game so that Jesus can be pouring stuff into you. So he can, when we led that little man to the Lord yesterday, I asked a guy, I'm raising my glasses. I asked a guy, I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, I think so. I'm like, you're 70 years old, man. You need to know. That is not an acceptable answer. I think so. Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. No, that means you think you might go to hell. Let's settle this today. And he did. He prayed the prayer. The second thing I prayed for him, now, Lord, open his ears so that he can hear you. That's the prayer I want to pray for you. Above all things, you hear me? Above all things, I want to hear his voice. I want to know with clarity that God is speaking to me. And I want you to know, and I think that he wants you to know. Father God, I pray right now for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness today. I thank you, Father, that they have been engaged in this service, God. They're listening for the voice of the Lord. I pray right now that ears all over this congregation would be opened up, and that you would begin to speak to them. And give them the clarity that they need to know that it's you, God, that's directing their life. God, we need to know that you're in our Mondays. You're in our Tuesdays. You're not just a Sunday God. You're an all-day God, an everyday God, that you're walking through us, whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, you're right there with us. Father, for that person that's never prayed the prayer of repentance, that's never said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, I pray today, open their heart, let the blind eyes fall off of them just like Saul's eyes were open. Let those scales fall off, let them see clearly that this is no joke. That we really have two places that we can go. We're either going to heaven or hell. There's no in between. I pray, Father, right now, let there be clarity in their heart that you are calling them into salvation, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, that they'll tell you, I'm in need of a Savior. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord. And Father, I pray for every person in here. And most of them have already prayed that prayer. God, I ask, Lord, direct us. Direct our steps, God. Lead us and guide us. And for those that are in the valley, for those that are in the storm of life right now, show them that they are not alone, that you are there with them. For others of us, Lord, help us to know that being spiritual is not a good story. Lord, sometimes it's just practical service. Sometimes it's just loving your neighbor. Lord, sometimes it's going across the street and taking groceries to a widow or single lady. Father, I let our walk with you be practical. God, let us serve you in every area that we can. I pray, Father, for this congregation that they are as a spiritual and attentive to your voice tomorrow when they're on their job as they are right now, and that they will be a good witness for your kingdom. And we ask that Paris will be transformed by your glory as the kingdom of heaven comes to earth and walks among us. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the word. Now you have planted it in our heart, and I pray, Lord, it's found good ground today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Brother Denny will come and end with the blessing.
Praise the Lord. One thing that jumped out at me on that story in the scripture today was how God called Ananias by name. It's not like God sent out this call to everybody in Damascus waiting for one disciple to take it. No, he said, Ananias, I have a specific job for you to do. So I encourage you this week, read that story again and imagine Ananias is identical to you, the same age as you, the same gender as you, the same place in his spiritual walk as you are right now, to know that God speaks to you just like he did him. And God has things for you to do just like he did for him. Amen. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.